Kevin, what is wrong with you? Were you listening to the post delay on the stream? Is there a post delay?
Did you just silence Ryan Burrow?
Yeah.
Wendy.
Kevin told me to. He kept saying, come on.
You can't silence Ryan Burrow. That's just not done.
What happened? Are you on weekend already?
My board was set to a different feed.
He was listening to the post delay.
Yeah.
Or pre-delay?
Pre-delay, yeah.
I don't know
what that's all very technical. I just know that you hurt the feelings of Ryan Burrow, and I want no part of that. I'm out.
Hey, well, let's start our show.
It's the stream, right? It's the stream portion of today's presentation, everybody. You can listen just by listening, and we're glad that you're here. And what an exciting first guest, somebody who's been with us in the past and hopefully in the future.
That's a good way of putting it. Her name is Val Camaletti, and she is the owner of Val's Hala Records. And it's record store day again tomorrow.
Yay.
Val, how are you?
Hi, Val.
You know, I was just...
Hi, guys.
How are you, Val?
I am just fine.
Did you hear Wendy try to silence Ryan Burrow? That was embarrassing, wasn't it?
I don't know. That was bad.
I know. Yeah.
I pride myself on my board work, too. So I'll take this one, Kevin, for the team.
Thank you.
But I was just talking to Bill off the air, Val, and you know everybody has these things. Oh, you're going on a deserted island. You can only bring 5 albums. I don't know that I can come up with just a minimal of 5.
Me neither. My suitcase for that deserted island is going to be really packed. The problem is I'm not going to have any food or water, but I'm going to have an awful lot of records.
Do you remember the very first record album you ever bought, Val?
Well, I didn't collect 45s when I was the age that I was when all of this started back in the dinosaur era. But I think you're not going to know this, and I don't know that it's a first record, but there was an instrumental album by an orchestra leader by the name of Bob Sharples, and it was it included a lot of classic songs like Stardust and stuff like that, which I was into in those days. And as I say, this is an era that, I don't know, Paleolithic or some era that comes before time. So it was that kind of stuff. But I do remember one very important record that I bought. I bought it at Rose Records, which was the mecca for anybody who bought music in the 50s, and that was the Belafonte Live at Carnegie Hall, which I still carry, which we still have in stock in vinyl, which was a double album, and I saw him on that tour, and that was 1958 or 59, and it is still one of my... It would probably be a Desert Island album.
All right. Bill, do you remember your first record album?
I don't remember my first, but I was buying loads and loads of 45s when I was in grade school.
There was this little place in Brookfield called the Lemon Tree, and it sold like barrettes and magazines
and
45s. It was like a weird eclectic mix. And I remember going to buy all these 45s when I was younger.
Yeah. You didn't hang the 45s on your ears.
No.
Place of the barrettes. No.
No, I did not.
Val, do you think is a kid missing out? I mean, so many of us who grew up during the vinyl era, that was an event to go to a store and purchase an album or a 45 and just own it and read the liner notes. But it's not way anymore. You're missing part of the experience, aren't you?
It is now, Bill.
It's coming back now,
and that is the joy of what has happened, which is the resurgence of vinyl and the passion with which young buyers, because they always lead the way. Teenagers led the way back then. I don't know if we even had the term teenagers, but they led the way back then, and they're leading the way now, and it is all about vinyl, and they are experiencing that feeling, that experience of putting this record on and reading the liner notes and engaging with the recording itself, and that's very special.
So, Record Store Day, it's national? Or international?
It is international now. It's national in that 1,400 stores are participating. It is the 10th anniversary. This 2017 in my life is anniversaries galore, and they all come in 5 and 10 intervals. It's the 10th anniversary for Record Store Day. It is the 55th anniversary of the year that I started at Capitol Records. It is the 50th year that I have been selling records in Oak Park, and it is the 45th anniversary of Valhalla.
Isn't that awesome?
Impressive, all the way across.
239 Harrison in Oak Park, by the way, and this is tomorrow. Starting at 9 a.m., correct?
Starting at 9 a.m. is when we open the doors. I will warn the public that the folks who are waiting for and hoping for limited edition titles, of which we will have hundreds, last year they lined up about a quarter to five in the morning.
Good golly. What was the big seller last year?
Pardon?
What was the big seller with the limited edition?
Oh, God, you know, I don't remember. They all run together. Hmm. I absolutely do not remember. That's something that Shane would probably remember, but I don't.
I think Taylor Swift had some special edition last year.
She did, but I don't think that was it.
That wasn't it?
No. There was a Sun compilation, which is one of those fun things that Record Store Day has done the last few years, where they ask record stores to pick from a bunch of titles on a compilation of unreleased stuff, and they put the record out. And we get to pick the titles we think should be on it. And that's really a Record Store Day fun thing, because it's made especially for that day, and it's made with the help of record store employees. So that's really cool.
Now, if you go to Valhalla, you can peruse the crates and crates of record albums, and there's old ones, and there's brand new ones, and yep, these limited edition ones. There are a lot of new bands that are they still exclusively releasing on vinyl only?
Mostly not. But they are almost all releasing on vinyl. Very often, the new bands, there is a download code that's issued with the LP, so that, you know, you don't have to go out and buy a record player for your car. You can actually play it. You can download it and play it in your CD player, your iPod, and all of those other wonderful forms. But there is a vinyl available for playing at home. And they also, in many cases, are releasing both CD and vinyl on new releases.
Val, since you just said you don't have to buy a record player for your car, help us clear something up. This became a topic when I was doing the late night show here for a while. This became a topic one night. There was a company that for a while made a record player that fit in your car. You'd put it kind of on the floor, a little raised up, but it was a record player with, you know, a stylus and a needle and everything. And I don't know exactly how it worked, but that was a thing for a while, right?
It was a very short-lived thing.
Yeah.
And
I wonder why.
You're driving, you hit a bump, and your record's destroyed, right?
Yeah, we were. There was a post recently on Facebook where somebody was teasing somebody about, you know, a record player in their car, and I said, you know, wouldn't you just love to navigate the Chicago potholes with a record player in your car in the winter?
But, Val, do you remember the old record players? They were kind of on a spring a little bit,
yeah,
so you could have some movement, and it wouldn't quite skip.
Yes, they weren't quite as delicate. Well, I mean, they were a long way from delicate. I mean, in the old days, the joke was that, you know, whether you put a nickel or a quarter on the arm to keep the needle down,
yeah,
and used to tape money on it. I mean, when albums became real things in the 60s and the 70s, and people started buying very delicate and high-priced turntables, that just became one of those things that made you shudder to think that you could actually tape a nickel on the arm or tape a quarter on the arm to keep the needle down.
It works.
We really used to do that, but they were a long way from the turntables of today.
I'm trying to think of the first record album I bought. I bought 45s, and I remember, and I just want to test your knowledge here, a song. This was one of the first 45s I bought. It's Good News Week. Do you remember that song?
I have no recollection.
Hedgehoppers Anonymous.
Oh.
Kevin, if you can find that. Hedgehoppers Anonymous. It's Good News Week.
Oh, Lordy.
It's pretty.
I have probably, there's a couple of bands in Chicago that are going to, cover that, I know. So I'm gonna have to persuade them to do that. That would be just for you.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Entertainment will be happening tomorrow at Valhalla.
Oh, 7 hours of it.
What sort of thing, Sal?
We will have live music on the stage kicking off at 11 a.m. Our stage, I always for Record Store Day have the stage hosted and curated by somebody else because we're sort of crazy that day.
You're busy.
So Phil Angotti, who will be doing four shows tomorrow all over the blessed city, very, very, very prominent Chicago musician who has one of the founders of the Beatle Brothers from many years ago, plays in a bazillion different bands, is extremely talented, is going to be hosting a bunch of people. We have seven bands running every hour starting at 11, including a band called The Dead Freddies doing David Bowie, a band called In Between Days doing a bunch of stuff that they do, which is just awesome. Phil himself doing a Bee Gees set. Rachel Drew, who will be doing a Bee Gees set with Phil, and then also will be doing a Patsy Cline set.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's going to be just awesome. So the music is certainly part of the attraction. And we'll have sales going on all over the store, and we'll have coffee and donuts for the early birds, and we'll have some we're also kind of combining with both the Friendly Tap and Wire. They're both music clubs in the area, and they're offering all sorts of discounts for people who shop here during the day. We have little cards for them to take with them, and they're going to have music all the way till 3 in the morning, and they're going to have giveaways, and you can win a turntable, and you can win gift certificates and all kinds of stuff. So it's a celebration all over the area and all over the Chicago and all over the United States, actually. I mean, it's really a... it's really a cool day.
Chicago's a little bit ahead of the rest, isn't it, in terms of record stores? We've got quite a number of good stores in and around
the city. We have a phenomenal selection of stores covering the entire metropolitan area of Chicago. I mean, we have three stores out here and more stores, a bunch of them in the city, all the way up through Lincoln Square and into the near north and the West Loop. And I mean, there just are stores everywhere in the area. And we have also just phenomenal musicians. So that a lot of those people are going to be playing at my store, but almost all the stores will be having guests and musicians and all sorts of events that are tied into Record Store Day.
And I think a couple years ago, our producer Kevin went to Nashville for Record Store Day. Did you stop at Jack White's place?
I sure did, and I saw Neil Young there with him.
Yeah, Neil Young was just hanging out at Jack White's record store.
Yeah.
How nice.
I'm here, and he's even born on my birthday.
Oh, Val.
Come on.
So that's just unheard of.
Well, I'm going to try and
talk to him about that.
I'm going to try and make it out. My son Michael is almost 18, and when he was 14, I remember the first time I took him to Valhalla for Record Store Day. He was there.
One of my favorite people.
Well, he was there so long. I had to go shopping for a while, and mm-hmm. I said, "Val, I'll come back to get him in a couple hours." And I think they were closing, and Michael's like, "Mom, could you come get me?"
Yeah, and he did a set last year.
He did, and he's playing a private party this year. Otherwise, I would have been
right.
begging
well,
you to play. I'm going to try and make it, but I want you to hear It's Good News Week by Hedgehoppers Anonymous, and maybe it'll ring a bell.
Someone's dropped a bomb somewhere, contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky. It's Good News Week.
I think it was on, it was, Did Parrot have a label?
Yes, it was on Parrot, and I do remember it now that I hear it.
See?
It's no Bob Sharples, Val. You know it. You're no thinking Bob the Sharples. Same thing I am.
It's not Stardust. No.
All right, she's Val Camaletti. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Congrats on...
Great fun, you guys. Thank you so much for inviting me to talk to you, and I do hope I get to see you. And, Bill, you should come, too.
I want to. I will do my best, I promise.
We will be here to welcome you.
Thank you, Val.
All right,
have
thank
a great
you
weekend.
Guys.
Record store day tomorrow, Valhalla, 239 Harrison Street in Oak Park. It really is a really good time. Bring extra money, though, because I think last year Michael spent $222 on LPs.
Wow.
Some special editions, and it's a lot of fun. It all starts at 9 a.m., goes till 7 p.m. tomorrow.
I remembered my first, by the way. It was Sound Magazine by the Partridge Family. It was the first full-on album. I had 45s. I had a bunch of 45s, but that was the first time I went and got a whole album.
My first album, it's funny, yours is the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
Mine was Van Halen 1, so 1978.
Oh. Boy, almost identical choices for you and me.
We're very similar.
Almost the same.
And I remember the first cassette I bought was Joe Walsh, Life's Been Good.
Oh, my first cassette was Poems, Prayers, and Promises by John Denver.
I can't hang with
again,
you anymore.
Again, we have the exact same taste. Who would have thought?
All right, we'll go to Record Store Day. It's really fun, and if you're not near Valhalla in Oak Park, which
Wendy
is 239,
will drive you.
No,
just pick her up.
239 Harrison in Oak Park starts at 9. If go to your local record store because it's the 10th annual, and really buy some vinyl. That's all I
Why
have
not?
To say.
All right, we'll talk to Judy Pilak next. She has the news for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Look who's here, Bill. Am I keeping you awake?
No, I'm fine.
That was the biggest yawn. You look like a little baby rabbit just waking up for the day.
He barely opened his eyes.
Thank you.
That was really cute.
Well, thank you.
Our favorite person is here, Judy Pilak, to give us some
news.
Oh,
now I'm your favorite person.
How the tables have turned.
She has been, she was on Steve Cochran's show earlier this morning. Uh-huh. She's on our stream show every day, which is awesome. We have fun working with you.
Thank you. If you mean it.
I do. In short spurts, I like Judy. She's on Roast Show every day. And are you going to be on John Williams' show
Maybe.
Later?
Maybe. Maybe you heard right.
You should be.
I will be on there after the show.
Right.
One of the inductees for the WGN Radio Walk of Fame. Congratulations.
Well-deserved, I believe.
You. I'll be on about the World Series ring on John's show, but thank you.
Oh, is that what you're discussing? Okay.
I was on Walk of Fame for Steve's show.
Your son, just as a quick preview, your son received one of the World Series rings, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He works there at Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. And how exciting. Have you seen the ring already?
I have. It's as I'll be telling John in a little while. He's not letting me wear it.
Yeah.
Did you at least put it on your finger?
Yes. I wanted to wear it to work today. That's what I promised John.
Oh no, he
we've
can't
got,
let
we,
you.
Houston, we've got a problem. Oh, not only that, I said, well, Kyle, why don't you come in? Absolutely not.
No.
Cubs said no.
Did he know that he'd be receiving one? Was it a
he
surprise?
Did. Yes, he went in and got sized his finger. Got sized. And and you know, there were three tiers of rings. It's really a nice ring.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not like the player's ring. It's not even like the front office
Nor
ring.
Should it be.
But, right, exactly. It's almost, to me, it's a ring he can wear.
Are there diamonds in it?
Yes, there are.
Couple?
Yep,
yeah.
There are.
And the Cubs logo.
Cubs, it's his World Series. He has the Cubs logo on the front. It's almost like an oversized high school ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really nice.
Will he tell girls that he plays third base for the Cubs?
I have been prompting him already. Yes.
You should.
I said, so were they a shortstop?
Right.
What are they going to say? You're in a bar? They're going to be a little bit drunk? You can tell them anything.
Did I leave my World Series ring here? I did.
Hobby.
There it is.
Tell him you're Javi Baez.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Good for him.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Rajon Rondo.
You also have to say Nico Meritich. You can't say it slowly. You've got to stretch it out.
Mm. Why aren't you a sports announcer?
I am.
Where, at your house?
It's not aired anywhere. I just do it at the house.
In front of the mirror?
Yeah.
Do even your daughters or wife listen to you?
No, they're not interested.
You know, you really are a sports fan.
Love it.
I know. I forget that sometimes.
Love it.
I want to ask a question. Judy, I'm sure you can relate to this too. Just everyday life, going home from work yesterday, and I was at a stoplight, and I see a funeral procession that is going through the intersection. And I'm noticing that it's rather long. The light changes, And I'm ready to turn right on red because I didn't want to break up the procession or anything.
It's illegal to do that.
Right. And it looked like it was over. And then as I'm turning right, all of a sudden a car comes speeding so quickly, blows the red light, and almost hits me. I had to slam on my brake. And I noticed then there was a break in the procession, and they had fallen so far behind. I know that funerals take precedence and go through red lights, but you're supposed to keep kind of a bumper-to-bumper procession going. This was honestly 100 feet, maybe even 150 feet, after the last car that went through almost hit me, and then the car behind him was about 30 feet away. It's like they lost track.
Yeah, no, that I believe that that's illegal. You have to then stop and obey the stop
right.
sign.
Yeah. And then you catch up.
Yeah, because they remember they give you the little talk at the funeral home.
Yes,
now, everyone's got to, you know, you got to have the sticker on. You've got to stay.
Yep. And flashing lights, which is the new thing now. It used to be the headlights were on.
Now you have your flashers
now
on.
Now you put the flashers on. But I mean, I just, like, at first I was like, why is this guy not stopping? And then I see the flashers and the, and I'm like, oh my God, but he almost hit me.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And he sped up on the red light to catch up to the car in front of him, but you have to keep an even pace there.
Right.
And then today on the way in, on the Eisenhower, there was a guy who cut me off and he had a funeral sticker on his car.
Just by himself?
But he just forgot to take it off.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't count.
You can't keep that on your car.
No, it counts for like 3 days after.
No. No, the expiration is as soon as the funeral takes place.
As soon as the expiration happens, the expiration happens.
Yeah. Is it maybe time to reevaluate the funeral procession?
Yes.
Because really, everybody now has GPS or access to GPS, so you can't use that as an excuse. You're gonna find the cemetery.
Correct. Oh, I think people do not want to give that up yet. Well, that's a big deal to a lot of people. How many cars are in the funeral procession?
I know.
You go by the person's home where they grew up, or
right.
lived.
But it is dangerous. We could have lost our own Wendy, you know?
Yeah,
so maybe it might be time to reexamine.
Maybe reexamine and tighten up those restrictions and say if you fall more than 30 feet behind,
then you
have
to
stop.
Obey the stop signs.
Exactly. Or maybe they have funeral people.
Well,
in between.
They did, I don't know how you'd do that because you'd need like five people from the funeral home to get to every approaching intersection. And then as you pass one, they drive up ahead.
That would be tough.
That would be difficult to do.
Okay, maybe on a horse, you kind of corral the cars.
Yes. Yes.
We're living in Deadwood time.
Horses. That's the answer. Right.
Well, and I think, I think they have enough funeral. They should have enough funeral personnel, too. And
this was a really long funeral.
Yeah, that's
I will
thing.
Say that.
And that's kind of unusual, right? They're not, when you see funeral processions, usually they're not that long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably far and few between, so.
But this was on LaGrange Road, which is a very busy road, and there were people coming from the other direction, across from me, who were turning onto LaGrange Road and kind of breaking it up because, again, the light turned green. There was a little bit of a break.
Right.
You got to stay right on the bumper of the car
right.
in front of you.
And they go slow enough
this
to
was
do
not,
that.
This was hauling ass. This was a hauling ass funeral.
The they were going too fast. Yeah.
And that's where,
What's
you know.
What's the rush?
Right.
People are dying to get in. I love that cemetery joke.
He's already late. What's the worst that can happen?
But now I thought you have your funeral, you have your hearse, which the casket's in, and they are usually the ones setting the pace.
Sure.
And they are supposed to be going pretty slowly.
Yeah.
No, this was 35 miles an hour on a very busy street.
How many cars would you say was in that procession?
I would bet 40 cars, maybe 45.
That's big.
I was noticing like, wow, this is a really long funeral.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, well, it's over. I'm going to turn right on red.
But
and as
no.
I, and
you
he
can't.
Really was going so quickly. And I get it. He was panicking. He's like, oh, I've broken the chain. I have to catch up.
But what's the worst? If you're that guy, the worst case scenario is you're going to be a couple minutes late to the cemetery. That's the worst that could happen there,
and
right?
You could
and
probably
you'll probably
catch
up
anyway.
You'll catch
yeah,
up.
You'll catch up. Just get out of line and
right.
pass some cars.
That
yeah.
shouldn't be allowed.
I just, it really worried me because...
You probably should have done a citizen's arrest.
Yes.
In the middle of a funeral
yes.
procession.
Well, you know what?
You've got to make a statement.
People need to learn.
Well, I have a microphone, so that's why here's my citizen's arrest. I just wanted to bring it up because
right.
I really feel that...
It's dangerous.
It is very dangerous.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the ruling is on that. A lot of times we have funeral directors who listen to us, And
whenever I'm in one of these processions, I always think about the fact that I'm coming to an intersection where somebody may not be up on the rules of the funeral procession. I'd be okay if they just did away with them altogether and said, we're meeting at this cemetery in 45 minutes. Good luck, everybody. Hope to see you there. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. Well, 312, I don't know
that's
the rest
all you
of it.
Need.
235-2525.
Right.
Because I'm just curious. I know funeral directors at some point say, here are the rules, here's what you do. I just wonder if they're telling people if there's too much of a break and you approach a red light and you're not directly behind the car in front of
then
you.
Then you're out.
You've got to stop.
You
yeah.
forfeit your procession.
And especially when you, as the funeral director, know there are 40 cars. I mean, you know
it was a big one.
Yeah, you know leaving that it's going to be a really big procession.
Right.
So you almost need to probably reiterate those rules. And
can I say, when you're in a funeral procession, I saw a car. It was a convertible.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two guys in it, and they were smoking, and they were laughing.
Oh, now, that's inappropriate.
It is kind
of. Is that
of.
The part?
That's
is
not
that
procession
the part
behavior.
Where you did the sign of the cross?
I did. I felt so. You know, it's
no,
like,
but in front of them. So
oh no, they didn't.
Gave him the evil eye.
No,
like, really?
They didn't.
God
see
is
me.
Watching you.
Did you go to a Catholic grade school?
I did.
Did the nuns at your school do anytime an ambulance would go by, they would stop
oh,
their
yeah.
lesson plan?
I do that.
And they would pray. You do that?
I didn't go to a Catholic school, but every time an ambulance goes by, I do a little sign of the cross and say, I hope they're okay. And it's weird because I was traveling in the car with my boys, they're teenage boys. I saw them do it. It's
they
like, oh
it?
My God, they learned something nice from
that
me for once.
Funny. No, I don't. Wow. I hadn't thought
I
about
always
that
do
in
that.
Years.
I should have been a nun.
You should have been a nun.
I'm very nun-like.
Is it too late?
Wow.
Fill out the application.
Sister Wendy?
Yeah, they did not accept me now, Bill. But I do that every
time. That would be a record time.
Time.
The stamp, the decline stamp, that'd be an absolute record.
You know what? I think they would accept you.
They might.
Right now.
And also, when you see a funeral, I still have to touch my belly button or navel.
What is that
explain
again?
That one, please.
I don't really know. And someone can help us, 312-235-2525. You guys went to Catholic schools. How could you not know this?
We didn't
this?
Even know we had a belly button. They didn't tell us. And it
right.
was, we were never to look at our belly button, that's for sure.
That's a sin.
Never saw it, so
that's a sin.
Touch it?
Yeah.
The public could look at their belly button.
What could just, that possibly mean?
Well, I have heard...
Hungry.
You're supposed...
Praying
I've heard,
for donuts.
I've heard different things. I've heard that you're supposed to touch a button on your... coat or your shirt or whatever.
Really?
Which means that, you know, it'll give you an added blessing so you're not the next
oh,
one in
no.
the hearse. But I've always touched my belly
that
button.
That sounds like black magic to me.
Well,
yeah. Your white magic really worked good on the, worked well
should
on the Blackhawks.
In the early grades, whenever one of the nuns would do that, so we'd be right in the middle of math class or something, and then you'd hear the siren and she would just stop, look out the window, and pray. So we accepted that in first, second, and third grade. But by fourth or fifth or sixth, we're like, I'm not sure that's going to make a difference. I don't know. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe
well,
not.
I, you know, growing up in Chicago, there was an ambulance every five
minutes. Constantly.
So it was, yeah, I don't remember them praying, but just doing the sign of the cross.
That's
I
what
still
I do.
Feel weird now. Like when we were a kid, if someone in the family sneezed, the immediate response was, bless you. That was just it. So I have found myself, like I'll be in a public place, like a movie theater, and someone will sneeze, and I'll go, bless you, and I'll go, what bearing could my blessing have on that person's cold?
It's just a nice thing to say, and they
yeah,
say
it's so removed from what it started as. I'm
right,
sure. But I thought
to
your
ward off
heart,
evil
which was,
spirits.
Yeah, you might die because you just
no.
It's because of the plague. People thought, oh, there's evil spirits. Ah.
And then if people sneeze more than once, I'm like, God bless you.
Right.
Like,
it means
because right.
your heart skips a beat when you sneeze, so that's why
right.
people said bless you, so you wouldn't die.
Yeah,
and
but
now,
isn't it weird
you,
getting
we
a blessing
it,
from another layman? Like, I, honestly...
I don't even think about it. I
if
just say
God's
bless
up
you.
There watching a sick person and waiting for me to bless them to go, okay, I'm behind this one, then something's gone wrong.
People appreciate it, though. I did it just last week. I was shopping, and someone sneezed, and I said, bless you. Oh, thank you.
They appreciate it, but if you look at the science of it, it doesn't have any bearing on that person's health. My blessing of them won't cure
yours,
them.
Yours, but Judy's would.
Judy's
need more.
Would. Judy's I know would, but mine would not.
But I do think it's weird when people in the public say "bless you."
Right,
it is kind of weird.
Right,
I'm always like, oh, I mean, it's fine.
I say curse
but
you.
I don't ever say it to people. Unless, like, maybe if they're standing right in front of me and they sneeze on me. And then
and
I
say, bless you?
Stupid.
Bless you, stupid.
You guys aren't very nice.
No, it's just...
Do you give them a hot
I think
towel?
It's odd.
Please bless you to everyone.
No, I do. I'm like, hello, in your arm?
Yes.
Where have you been the last 10 years?
Okay, you sneeze in your arm.
Yes, Bill? Always. And you should.
Be honest. Do you do it?
I have been scolded by my daughters who learned in school what they call the vampire move, which is, much like Bela Lugosi, you cover, like, remember how Bela Lugosi
would
walk around with
But do you do that?
No.
Be honest.
Nope.
And you know why? Because we were never taught that.
Right.
So we were just told to cover our mouths.
Right.
All of the kids, it's so funny. You're in an audience watching a school performance. You see all these kids like doing it in their elbows.
Blah. I love it that they've.
I can't retrain myself.
Right. Once you learn it.
I know it's hard. You know what? Sometimes I just put my head that way. I might forget to put my arm up, but I at least.
Well, then it's not. Then you're not covering anything.
I'm away from people because remember before you just sneeze.
Right.
You didn't. People didn't do anything.
I always covered my mouth. Didn't you?
Always covered my mouth.
Or with a cough.
Right, but they didn't during the war.
They'd take their hat off and cough into their head.
Right. That's right.
I don't want to think about what some people would do in the old days. It's disgusting. Our hygiene has gotten so much better.
Yeah, but disease is on its way up. So explain that. And they didn't have peanut allergies during the Civil War.
And influenza kills a lot of people every year.
Did you ever see soccer players do this thing where when they have to clear their sinuses, they take an index finger and they put it in one portion, one nostril.
It's like farmer's blow.
Did you say soccer's?
Soccer players.
Soccer players?
I've never seen a soccer player do it in my life.
It's always soccer players.
And why only them?
I don't know why.
Well, so a minute ago when I just said disgusting, that's exactly what I was thinking. Men, older men, used to just do that on the streets of Chicago.
Right.
When I was growing up.
Now they just do it in the shower.
Where everyone should do it.
Why do soccer play? I never noticed.
It's the weirdest thing.
Is it because they run so much, maybe?
This will sound horrible, but I think it's because many of them come from lands where that's still acceptable behavior. We're here in the United States, maybe we've said, no more of this.
Right. Then why is it called a farmer's blow? Farmers did it. Do farmers still do it? Where's Orion when you need him?
No, farmers go bum, 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 bum.
Green
that's their version of it. I don't know why it got tagged on farmers. I have no idea why we're blaming farmers for this. It should be called European soccer players blow, because that's what I see them doing.
Well, and interesting that you say that, because I grew up in a very Polish neighborhood.
Yeah.
And a lot of the men
that was standard.
Maybe that was it because they were from Europe, and yeah.
I
saw it a lot.
But they had access if they needed to for Kleenexes or
hankies. They
would pull the hanky out afterward.
After.
Oh, to rub their nose after. Well, you get most of it out that way, and then you don't have to wash your handkerchief so often.
I walk on that sidewalk.
One time when I was little, I was in church with my brother and my cousin, and my cousin sneezed, and the man next to her quickly pulls out, very dapper gentleman, pulls out a handkerchief and offers it to my cousin. My cousin gives a look like, I don't know where that's been. I'm not accepting that from you.
That is very gentlemanly, and that's what men used to do. They'd only leave a clean handkerchief in their pocket. They would hand it to you, because that happened to me when I was a little girl at church, and I'm like, well, what do I do with it now that I use it? And I went to give it back to him, and the man was like, oh, no, honey, now it's yours.
That belongs to you now. I would never use someone else's. I'm assuming it had been laundered at some point, but if that's yours, that's yours. Thanks, but
my mom used to iron handkerchiefs. I mean, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
You could tell if it was used.
Yeah.
There was a whole section.
And sometimes you need a hanky.
Well,
you know, I do like that, because sometimes
But if you know, if you're in the mood of sneezing, if you've had a cold recently, don't you just stock up on Kleenex?
I stick it in my bra.
Yeah. That's where I keep mine, too.
With your money? With your wallet?
I don't have any money. I never have cash on me, but Kleenex all the time.
Well, I haven't done that since grade school, but anyway.
Wendy does the trick like birthday magicians, where she pulls one out and they just keep coming out like silks. And even rabbits look embarrassed. Where'd you get all that?
And she's like, oh, here's the one from the man in church.
Here's one from a European soccer player.
We're getting no calls. I wonder why.
Lunchtime. People are grossed
out. I wouldn't call. All right. We must take a break.
Thanks, Jude.
Judy, sure. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend if
you
we don't
too.
See you. Judy can
but
be heard
can
later
me,
on the John Williams show.
What
and
time?
Roast show. And then
in about 15 minutes.
On the Lutheran Hour this weekend. You can hear it. All right. We'll take a quick break.
I'll be discussing how to hold your sneeze at
right,
church.
Right. Thanks, Judy. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we are live on the stream at WGNradio.com and elsewhere. You can find us in your microwave.
Yeah. Any household appliance. A water pick. The show sounds great. I've been listening to the show on water pick, Wendy. It's really good. Are you a fan of Friends, the TV show Friends?
Yes.
Did you see that there's going to be a Friends musical opening in New York in the fall?
Yes, but I'm not going to go to New York to see that. I wish it would come here. So I guess if it does well in New York, it may come here.
We may see it here in Chicago.
Is that what Off-Broadway means?
Yeah, that's exactly what Off-Broadway means. It says 13 years after Friends ended its 10-year run, we now... Be honest, because of that show, anytime you see a fountain, don't you get an umbrella and just walk around in there for a little bit? I do.
Not anymore. I used to.
Is coming to New York in Friends the Musical. It says Ross, Rachel, Monica, Chandler, Joey, and Phoebe will be there for you, singing their hearts out as they navigate the pitfalls of work, love, and life in 1990s Manhattan. It then gives us a list of the songs that you can hear for Friends the Musical. Do you want to hear the
list?
Yes. It's a very enjoyable list. Here are the songs. There are over 200 of them.
Hurry up. We're almost finished.
The only coffee shop in New York City. That's where the show starts out with. The only coffee shop in New York
Central
City.
Central Perk.
Then you get 45 Grove Street. How can we afford this place? Which is a nice inside joke.
How could they afford that place? What
no
did they
knows.
Do?
No one knows. Well, Monica was a chef, so she made some money.
Yeah, not when you're just starting out.
Joey was a soap opera actor, so he might have done okay. Chandler worked, what was his job? He worked in an office of some sort. Because I remember there was an episode where he worked with a guy for 5 years and didn't know his name.
Right.
Which is pretty funny.
Can I ask you, when you...
Ross was a paleontologist. Those guys make crazy money.
Yeah, right. Still, though.
They make good money.
That was such a nice place.
Mm-hmm.
In
New York, that would have cost, because we just priced apartments for my daughter Kylie, I would say in the neighborhood of $2.5 million a month for that apartment.
They didn't make that much. Paleontologists certainly don't make that much.
Maybe not.
If you come across an episode of Friends, do you watch it?
Friends is one of those that I can watch for like 2 minutes or 3 minutes and be fine. I always enjoyed it.
I loved it.
But I won't go, oh, I remember this one, and then watch it all the way through. But I'll watch a few minutes here and there. I always like it.
That, Seinfeld, and King of Queens. If I come across it, I
always
will watch
enjoyable.
The whole episode.
Yeah. This is a song. This is a showstopper, Wendy. I predict this is a showstopper. How you doing, ladies?
I wonder who will sing that
I don't
one.
Know. I don't know who will sing that.
How you doing?
Hey, Ugly Naked Guy Who Lives Across the Street is one of the songs.
All right, I understand that because I was a fan of Friends. My question to you is...
Is that too inside?
No, because Friends fans will completely get that. But why now? Why didn't they do this sooner?
I think now just because of the nostalgia of the show, you could have had a hit with this during the run of Friends or immediately after. Like, perfect timing would have been as soon as the show went off the air just to make people go, oh, we need something to quench our friend's thirst. It would have been right there for him. But I think this could still be a hit, depending on if the music is good. We Were on a Break is one of the songs that refers, of course, to the Ross and Rachel break. I'm Gonna Hump You.
That can be involved with any of them.
That's not a song from the show, Wendy. I just lost
well,
my sense of right
you do let go
wrong.
On the stream.
Yeah. I'll say anything that comes to my head. Here's one. Oh, my God, it's Janice.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that was Ross's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Is it Ross? No. Chandler.
Chandler's
she was dating Chandler.
Ex-girlfriend.
She had a crazy laugh.
Slightly annoying laugh. Will They or Won't They? I'm guessing that refers to who? Who would that refer to?
Chandler
and Marcel the Monkey. Because every time you'd watch them, you go, I wonder if they're going to get lucky or not. The Ballad of Fat Monica. Fat Monica, the Ballad
of... Oh, when she wore the fat suit.
Yeah, always enjoyed that. Could I Be Any More in Love with Monica?
That's Chandler's definitely.
Song.
Could I Be...
The one where we make $1 million an episode, that's kind of crossing real life and
that's a real
life.
Song?
That's one of the songs.
I like that.
And that has to do with the fact that the cast was each making $1 million per episode, which you could, even in New York, you could live on that. You could make a living on that. And We Will Always Be There For You. Oh, that one would make me cry. I predict that was the one that would make me cry. In some of their past productions, the McSmiths.
Who's that?
Have convinced former cast members. It doesn't say
they
the
must
story.
Be the people who have done
the producers.
The play. Yeah,
have it doesn't say have convinced former cast members to guest star for a show or two. Oh, that would get people in the door if you go, hey, guess who's coming by? It's one of your favorite cast members from Friends. I bet that would work. We don't expect anyone to be making cameos this time around, but who knows? It says Friends the Musical tickets go on sale in June, and the show will open sometime in the fall of 2017 at the Triad Theater in New York City.
So that's this fall.
That's this fall.
God, we're in 2017 already?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm still writing 2013 on my checks.
No, that was a long time ago.
Jeez. Well, I'd see it.
Wendy, we're out of time. There's no more time. Well, because we get an hour, and then when the hour's done, we have to stop talking.
All right, well, have a fantastic weekend.
You too. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. Sorry about the Blackhawks. Don't panic. They'll be back.
Don't
Richard panic.
One jumped on my panic button, like when he would hit the goal.
I'm surprised no one did.
I didn't push it enough.
I thought you had a hit there.
Yeah.
That was very strange. All right, keep listening to the stream. All kinds of great things ahead.
What's next?
Nothing. Just going to be quiet for a while. If you enjoy peace and quiet, then keep it here on the stream.
I do after working with you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Have a good weekend.
Bye, everybody.